Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Man who is part of that press corps that we love so much is our pal Joe Person, who joins us from The Athletic and joins us on the Telecom Hotline. What's up, JP? How are you, pal?
What's going on, dude? How's your summer?
Summer's good, you know, closed on the house, getting ready to try and break out the grill and figure out how to use it. So we're trying to make it happen. We will have the pelagic housewarming party. Your invitation will come pretty soon, I promise.
I'm going to crash that party. You don't have to even send me an invitation. I'd prefer to crash it. I kind of like that. That's kind of how I roll.
So in terms of crashing the party for the Carolina Panthers, you know, we were talking about this over the last couple of days. Nothing seems close on the quarterback decision, but parsing their comments, they don't necessarily seem pleased with where Sam is at this point going into training camp.
Yeah, a couple things. Certainly, having gone through mini camp, you know, with that coming and going without a Baker deal, then there's no real urgency now. There's no real deadline. And as I mentioned this morning in the Athletic, there's also the fact that a lot of these GMs and coaches and front offices are on vacation. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you can certainly do a deal from your lake house or beach house with a cell phone or a Zoom. I get it. But I think that more than anything, like, you know, deadlines spur action in this league and in every professional league. And I think now I don't think the Baker talk's going away. And I just think that now it's, you know, going to be a little bit closer to training camp, I think, before that heats back up again.
There seems to be this debate now, independent of the circumstances, about which of the two quarterbacks fits Carolina better. Do you feel it's a Baker fit or a Jimmy fit, or do you feel like it's more just the circumstances because of Baker being able to be attained somewhat easier than Jimmy G?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think either of them to me, man, are upgrades over Sam Darnold, but they're not huge upgrades. And I understand Garoppolo's played in a Super Bowl and almost a second one. But like we all understand what that looked like and how he had a very good defense, a very good running game, and he was a game manager, but it's a good one. I mean, I think you plug him in here and I think he'd do pretty well. I think he'd be a good fit for the Ben McAdoo offense. Not that Mayfield would be a bad fit, but I think all things being equal, which they aren't salary-wise, I would lean toward Garoppolo. So, you know, part of my article today addressing this as part of a roster projection I did, I think it would take Garoppolo getting cut for the Panthers really to get in on that. You know, otherwise, even if you restructured his deal, it's going to be a bigger number than clearly they think they can get Baker Mayfield for. So when the Browns finally, you know, when these two sides finally come to agreement, which I still think is going to happen. I mean, unless there's some surprise team out there, be it Seattle or Houston or who knows what, that makes a run for Baker late. I mean, the Panthers, you know, seem to be the most interested and most likely team as we move forward into July.
What is the most hotly contested roster spot right now from your projections that you look at for the Panthers that we'll be watching when we sit down in Wofford in the baking sun in late July, early August?
You know, the two position groups that I ended up cutting a bunch of guys who were on this team last year were the secondary and also the offensive line. And the offensive line makes sense because they went out and, you know, upgraded with Corbett and Bradley Bozeman. I guess the point I was making is you did the numbers on the line. Like, I think Dennis Daly could be in jeopardy, But then even one of their recent draft picks, like Cade Mays or Deontay Brown, and again, these weren't high draft picks, both six-rounders each of the last 2 years. I don't know that there's room for both of those guys, maybe neither of them, to make the team. But again, we've seen a little of Deontay, and so I put Cade Mays on the roster just for the simple fact that he's in the more recent draft class, and we nor the Panthers have had much of a look at him yet. So, and then secondary, kind of the same thing. They didn't make as many upgrades, but you get a healthy J.C. Horn back. You get a Kalen Barnes that you draft in the seventh round. Xavier Woods. So they did bring in some guys, re-signed Justin Burris. So then I had guys like Sean Chandler, Sam Franklin, and Stanley Thomas Oliver all missing out and being on the wrong side of the cut. But I pointed out in there, all three of those guys were pretty solid, dependable special teams players last year. So that's not insignificant. And so it would not be a shock if they end up with a spot. And Chris Westry, who's another newcomer I should mention, ends up the odd man out, or Justin Burris or somebody like that, or even Kalen Barnes. I mean, seventh rounder, as is no guarantee, but a lot more competition for some of those down the roster spots, I think.
Joe Person, The Athletic, covering the Panthers with us here on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ as we look at the Panther roster. I know that the Damian Wilson thing is still kind of out there, but factoring that into the discussion, how satisfied are you with the linebacker position?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think Corey Littleton is going to be someone interesting to watch at camp because, you can't really put much onus on what we saw out there at OTAs and minicamp when defense isn't really able to do much. I mean, they're running around and trying to get to their fits, but then nobody's obviously making tackles. They don't even have full pads on. So, I mean, his background. I mean, he was a really pretty productive 125 tackle a year guy for two seasons in LA, gets the big deal from Vegas, and just becomes kind of just a guy and not making any impact plays. And the Raiders cut him. And, Damian Wilson too. I want to see him obviously, but Corey Littleton, I have kind of trouble sort of filling out those fifth and sixth linebacker spots. I put Littleton on, but I mean, we saw last year, that Matt Rhule is not afraid to go ahead and cut a linebacker shortly after getting to camp. The other position too, as you kind of typed out the four tight ends names, it's sort of like, this group could look like it could stand a little reinvent. We've been talking a lot about edge rusher, and I do think they will add somebody there. But there are a couple other position groups where you're thinking, they see someone in the waiver wire, tight end could be a spot they look to add to.
Yeah, I was thinking about tight end as well. There's not really a lot behind Tremble. I know that they use Colin Thompson as an extra blocker at times. I know that we've seen a couple of flashes from Stephen Sullivan, but again, that is in shorts and t-shirts. Right. And I also think too, for whatever reason, there was just a different feel last year, maybe just because we didn't get it, but I almost feel like the way they approached minicamp this year was a lot more developmental than it was. I felt like for when you're trying to do a new offensive install, we saw a lot less of the main guys than I think that we were bargaining on. Did you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and in fairness, I think they had semi-intense OTAs.
True.
And I think, Matt Rhule telling us that the plan had been to make that sort of the impetus. And then minicamp, he wanted to see, as you mentioned, Will, some of the younger guys, what they had in these guys. And I think some guys stepped to the forefront with that, Terrace Marshall being one of them. Rashard Higgins came on late again, we're there one day a week for OTAs.
Right.
During minicamp, Higgins the last couple of days really caught my eye, was catching a lot of passes. And then Chris Westry, I think you and I were sitting next to each other in the stadium that day, the last day of minicamp, and he was you know, as Rule said, like a 6 foot four corner, you know, it's hard to miss him. And he and the Panthers saw him for the first time really last summer with the joint practices, during the joint practices with the Ravens. So I'm interested to see him a little more. I mean, he's kind of raw, but shows up big in the red zone last week, you know, knocking, had real tight coverage on Terrace Marshall, I think one play, and then he knocked it. And these were against, like, again, he wasn't going against Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore, but he was going against Sam Darnold, and he had another pass breakup in the end zone on one of Darnold's, I think, fade passes. So Chris Westry kind of caught my eye late in minicamp.
Does Brian Burns end training camp with a new deal?
I don't think so. I think they, I think DJ Moore, I think the timeline with him, and every situation is different, so you might be wrong, but, or I might be wrong. I just think that we saw Scott Fitter, they basically do what the DJ Moore, where you pick up his fifth year option, you let him play his fourth year, and then you extend him. Now, would Burns be okay with that plan? You know, would you have an unhappy camper? I don't know. I think it's pretty clear that Brian Burns is a part of this team's future, and they know they're going to, an edge rusher is not going to come cheap. But I would be surprised, not shocked, but a little surprised if they do a deal, get a deal done with Burns before this fourth season.
Were you surprised that Dunlap didn't leave here with a deal? Because I still am not. I know they can talk up Frankie Louvu and Haynes and all those guys all they want. I'd like somebody more solid over there.
Yeah, a little bit surprised. And I wonder if they just. But early on in that visit, I was getting kind of catching wind that. That it wasn't going to end with a deal. That to me sounded like maybe they're too far apart on numbers and just sort of wanted to kind of have a little introduction to both sides and see where it went. But, I don't think there's any question that Phil Snow is a master at creating mismatches and, you know, like what he did with Frankie Louvu, what he's done with some other players' chin. But yeah, I mean, you can only smoke and mirrors that for so long in this league. And, you know, losing Hassan Reddick was a big, I mean, that's 11 sacks, just a huge locker room presence, even though we weren't in the locker room, everyone you talked to, he became very quickly a leader on that defense. So I'm with you. I think they will, and it might not be until, you know, camp or even late August at cutdowns that they pick somebody up off the waiver wire, and go that direction.